In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Looking around us in this church, in our churches all over the world, through our family of churches, and indeed in the Church of God throughout the world, we realize one very important truth, and that is that God has made us to be part of one another. Over this weekend, we have a wonderful group of young people here, and we are discussing the church as hidden treasure. And it is a hidden treasure. It is a treasure for all of us to share. It is a treasure for all of us to prosper from, through each other and through our collective presence. When our Lord was told that his mother and his brother, who were his cousins in Jewish tradition, were outside, people thought he's going to ask his family in. But he wanted to give them a lesson. There was something even greater than a mere worldly connection. It was the connection we have through him. In our families, God exists, and we are gathered together by him as a family unit. And that unit is sacred. But there is another connection, a broader connection with those around us. That connection, which is in his body. We're told in today's gospel that our Lord looked around and said, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" Those who do the will of God, those who follow those teachings, those who have the same life, they're my brothers, my sisters, my mother. That connection for us is so important. Church is not just somewhere we come and pray on a Sunday. It is not just somewhere we gather to have a youth conference. It is not just somewhere we come for fellowship. It's not even just a social connection. And for so many, it turns into that. And that's a beautiful thing. When many people come into our church and see a family, it's what touches them. Because many people in the world today lack a sense of family and community. They're alone. They feel alone. They feel like they have to journey alone, not having any support, not having any strength, not having any comfort. But in this wider family, we realize we are not alone. And so, what is church to us? It is a fellowship and a gathering in Christ. Those who do the will of God. Not just those who believe in God. That's a broader term. It's a looser connection. But the real, important, powerful connection for us is those who do the will of God. And so we must ask ourselves, in our gatherings, in our homes, in our social settings, do we do the will of God? When we are gathered as families or as friends or as a community, do we do the will of God? What is the will of God? We read, St. Paul writes to the Thessalonians that the will of God is our sanctification. So when we are gathered for our sanctification? Some might turn around and say, well, come on, you don't really expect us just to pray and to read our Bibles every time we gather. Well, that's questionable. I think prayer and scripture should be part of everything we do, but it shouldn't be the only thing we do. You have social engagements, you have social settings, you have celebrations, you have parties, you have visits, you have outings, you have activities, all of those. The question is not, should I just always sit around and read my Bible only? It's when I do any of these things, are they for my sanctification? It may sound radical to some, but it's not radical at all. In an age where we are obsessed with physical well-being, when everyone is eating clean, when everyone is being healthy, when everyone is looking at body image and fitness, people make sure that everything they do, every intake, every action, every activity contributes to an overall wellness. We won't eat that or drink that or do that or not do that just in case it becomes an obstacle. In our spiritual lives, we must have the same attitude. Does everything we do contribute to our spiritual wellness? In an ideal world, of course, yes. But as Christians, what do we have left if we do not aim for the ideal? We live for the ideal. We may not achieve it, but at least if we're aiming for it, we'll achieve a large part of it. Everything we do, from our family settings, to our social gatherings, to our social celebrations, to just time we spend alone, must work towards our sanctification and the sanctification of those around us. We are responsible for those around us. But we sometimes become toxic for ourselves and for those around us. In the way we speak, in what we do, in our values that we insist on imposing on others, even if they don't accept them. Someone who wants to live a life of holiness is a misfit. Someone who wants to live an ideal is a freak. Someone who wants to be a good, faithful Christian is an eccentric and an extremist. Because we must live in the real world. We have a very real God who instructs us to live in a very real world in a very real way, observing and seeking very real holiness. That is the real world. Anything else is a world we manufacture for ourselves. Anything else is a world we numb our consciences with, just to justify what we do. Christianity calls us to be radical. I don't mean radical as in terrorist. I don't mean radical as in aggressive. I don't mean radical as in violent. I mean radical in our thoughts of purity and accountability. Radical in standing against the fashions and morals and directions of this world that take us down a very dangerous path. We think we're radical when we're breaking rules. But actually, in this day and age, when life revolves around breaking rules, we are radical when we keep them. In this day and age, when morality is challenged at every level, we are radical when we live that sense of morality and purity of mind, of body, of spirit. That is the radical we are called to be. This is the truth This is what God wants us to do. But we become toxic in each other's lives sometimes. Rather than leading each other to righteousness, we sometimes unknowingly, but sometimes actually actively, we lead each other to destruction. Now, we don't want it to be destruction, but we turn a blind eye to the reality. But we are called to a life of liberating holiness. Sin and sinful encounter and interaction are the bonds and chains of unrighteousness and sin. But righteousness, purity, godly living, that is true liberation. That is true freedom. When we can walk around thinking and knowing and feeling by God's grace that we are stronger than the temptation that surrounds us, that's liberation. But when I fall to every sin, when I fold before every temptation, and when I lose every battle, then I'm defeated. I'm not liberated. I'm not free. I'm not a radical. I'm just another dead fish floating downstream. Not a live fish fighting for its life, continuing to swim upstream so that it becomes defiant, maintaining its own life and bringing forth new life. Sounds radical? Christ was a radical. Good radical. Righteous radical. God is radical. Unfortunately, terms like radical and martyr have been hijacked. Let's reclaim those words. A martyr is one who dies for his or her faith in righteousness without presenting a risk to another. A radical is someone who dares to stand before the norm, especially when that norm is against his or her belief. Let us reclaim these words. Let us sanctify these words once again. And let us live as those radicals who have a faith, an understanding, a love, and a desire for the very real holiness in a very real world that we live in, achieving to reach a very real kingdom that is prepared for us. Glory be to God forever. Amen.